Jess, thank you for raising your hand. I at least know you're being honest. How many of you think you have no emotions whatsoever? Okay, well, you would be lying if you said that. You know, I think part of our struggle when we talk about emotions is sometimes we deny our emotions more than we're willing to express them. We need to remind ourselves that we were created in the image of God. Amen? And if we're created in the image of God, and we are beings that have emotions with us, then that is a part of God's creation. And sometimes our way to deal with emotions is to do what? Hide them or ignore them. I've seen a lot of families in the midst of difficulties because they're trying to protect each other. They just pretend those emotions don't exist. And what do you think that does to the family? It's not really beneficial. So I want to give us permission today to talk about our emotions. That's what every man here wants to do right now. Amen? Jim, you're excited about the topic. I can see from over here. And yet I want us to realize, you know, this is the great part about that Ecclesiastes saying, and I would never use Ecclesiastes, by the way, to be my defining book in the Bible, but it does make it very clear that, you know, we are going to experience different seasons, and they're going to be very different, and that's okay, because God is present in each one of them, amen? And if I really trust that, then I can grapple with my emotions without fear, because I know that God is still present regardless of how I feel. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church in Rome. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. Bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and cry with those who are crying. Consider everyone as equal. And don't think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. Don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for what everyone else believes is good. If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Don't try to get revenge for yourselves, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is written, "Revenge belongs to me, I will pay it back," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, you will pile burning coals of fire upon his head. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. Would you pray with me? Father, may we forever take comfort in the knowledge that you love the whole of us. Now, Father, you don't just love us when things are going right or when we are being completely faithful to you, Father, but you love us when we are in difficult moments. You love us when we are happy. You love us when we are sad. And Father, we want to breathe deep of that presence, of that promise, that it would be your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, it's dawned on me that this generation expresses emotions all the time, right? With those little emojis. And scientists can even tell us what part of the brain is associated with those different emojis. So it seems like, wouldn't it be really simple if in the middle of our emotional struggles, if we could just enter into our little brains and adjust that a little bit? The other thing that I find fascinating with a culture that is beginning to just use emojis to define everything is that in the midst of them thinking they are expressing emotions, they are also the loneliest generation there is. In spite of having constant contact, in spite of expressing that they are happy or sad or laughing or whatever they're trying to express with their emojis, they are lonely. And overwhelmingly, I realize this is not just a problem with that generation, that this is a problem that has persisted. My father grew up with a father that would have told him that if he was sad, that he had to do what? Suck it up. No time to be sad, son. The cow still needs to get milked. The field still needs to be plowed. And so sadness was not tolerated for them. It doesn't shock me as I talk to my dad in the midst of how he was raised that he struggles to express his emotion, because he'll say things like this: well, you guys know I love you. I shouldn't have to tell you. I told Dee I loved her 20 years ago, amen? Should I have to tell her that daily? And why is it we struggle with emotions? Probably part of it is it's complicated. It's not so easy for us to always describe how we feel, and sometimes emotions come on like a wave and you don't understand why they're there, amen? Anyone ever get stuck in that? Anyone ever see me walking down the road crying with my dog? I know some of you have passed me doing that. You might be kind and not raising your hand, but that happens to me. And for me, it's overwhelmingly, I feel so blessed that God's presence has been made clear to me, and I struggle with why it hasn't been made as clear to the people whom I love and whom I care about. And then I get kind of sad. Sad that everyone doesn't get to experience that. That everyone doesn't get to walk their dog down the road and feel like God is walking right down with them. And then I'm crying. And then I'm thinking, now people are going to think I'm some sort of lunatic. But I passed my psychological examination to be ordained, just so you know that. And so what do emotions mean? And can we really deal with emotions in the midst of the family faith? Because sometimes, even in the midst of the family faith, we try to repress emotions. And so when somebody's going through a difficult time, what do we tell them? It's okay, be happy. When somebody experiences a death in the family, we say to them, we should rejoice because they're in heaven, they're in a better place. How many times have I seen somebody go to somebody who lost a child and say to them such things as, God must have needed another angel. Is that comforting? Why are we so afraid of some emotions? You know, it's interesting because Christ is emotional. When we read the stories in Scripture, he definitively expresses emotions. We went with the middle school to see the play Jesus at Sight and Sound this week. And what I loved most about it was Jesus seemed so lighthearted. And it made sense to me because it's hard to be down in every situation when you know God is in control. Amen? And so I love this image of him dancing with the children. The joy he must have had. The joy he must have had seeing kids understand that God's presence was there. And notice that there's some people in the background with their arms crossed. Come on, Jesus. Be serious for once. And yet, I firmly believe Christ was full of joy. We also have that great moment in Scripture when his friend Lazarus dies and he weeps. He knew what it was to be sad. Now here's the interesting thing about this. Jesus, of all people, knew this was not the death of Lazarus. Amen? He knew he was going to be resurrected, but in spite of that, his emotions came forward and it says Jesus wept. He didn't look at Mary and Martha and say to him right away, don't worry, I got this. Be full of joy. He wept. He joined them in their emotions. He even shows anger. And I got to admit, this is one of those scriptures I struggle with the most. When he is casting the money changers out of the table, his anger is expressed. It is a part of his emotions. And so it seems weird to me when I hear Christians in the middle of talking to somebody in an emotional state think the first thing you need to do is do what? Get rid of that emotional state. That you need to suppress it and to put it away. When I think Christ shows us a different way. So there's a movie a few years back called Inside Out. How many of you have seen it? Okay, it really is a good movie. It's a kid movie, right? But I think it's a movie that deals really well with the topics of emotions. And emotions, overwhelmingly, are not dealt with well. And so this little girl moves from Minnesota to San Francisco, and she's sad. But in the midst of her sadness, what do you think her parents are trying to do? Make her happy. And so that joy part of her brain, and her brain is separated into these different emotions, and they are characters in the movie. The joy part of her brain is trying to suppress her sadness and saying, we can't be sad, be happy. And she's trying to push the sadness away, and her parents are trying to push the sadness away. Let's be happy. Let's find things that make you happy. Let's ignore the fact that you're sad. In the midst of all that, what do you think's happened to the little girl? She's caving in on herself because she's not dealing with the emotions that she has expressed. And then if you want to play the clip at the very end, this is when a sadness. So you'll see joy and you'll see sadness. It's pretty clear by how they draw the characters. You'll see them engaging to set this child free.
Teacher hasn't even seen Riley all day.
What?
What was she wearing last? Do you even remember what? Riley!
There you are. Thank
goodness. We were worried sick. Where have you been? It's so late.
Minnesota too. I miss the woods and we took hikes.
And the backyard where you used to play.
Spring Lake. where you learned to skate. Come here.
So I love that scene because they finally express how they really feel to each other. The parents were trying to have that good face for the daughter, to say to him, this move is good, be happy. But they were sad. And because they were hiding it from their daughter and their daughter was hiding it from them, they were all kind of falling apart. So they had that chance just to share with each other. You know, and what is our biggest fear when we share emotions? Anyone want to take a guess? Rejection. We're afraid that if I share with you how I really feel, you're going to reject me. And so when she goes to the mom and dad and she says, I know you want me to be happy, but I'm sad. Her fear is they will be angry at her because of how she feels. And frankly, sometimes you will experience that in life, right? You will express an emotion to somebody and they get almost angry at you for the way you feel instead of the way we should handle it, which is, I know what that feels like. We need to recognize that we are created with emotions and God loves us and redeems the whole of us. There's not a part of us that God is afraid. God is not afraid of us being sad or happy or angry or frustrated or whatever emotion we might experience. God's presence is still there. This is how he created us. This is a part of who we are and how we should express ourselves to each other. It is absolutely okay for us to be in an emotional state. And if we really want to have emotionally healthy relationships, what do we need to do? We need to be willing to share them without fear. Without the fear that you're going to be angry at me because of the way I feel. But instead that you'll be willing to walk with me. And I love what Paul writes in Romans 12 when he says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Be sad with those who are sad. We are called to embrace each other's emotions. When we try to suppress the emotions of somebody around us, we are failing to be faithful to God's call in our lives. This is what I would love to see at the points of death, at those difficult points of life. Instead of people telling you to be happy because, it's for people just to be there with you. To be there to mourn with you. The Jews have a great tradition of this. You go into a period of mourning, people come beside you to do what? Mourn with you. Not to tell you it's going to be okay. Not to tell you to suck it up. Not to tell you just forget about it because there's a bigger thing ahead. But just to be with you. There are actual books in the Bible that focus on mourning, right? Lamentations focuses on the mourning process. Job, now his friends aren't real good at this, but they at least show up. That ability to sit with each other. We're much better at being happy with each other when we're happy, amen? I don't go to a lot of weddings and see depressed people hang around. Usually we're rejoicing with the happy couple, but we need to be able to emote with people. to give people permission to emote with us. Not to try to correct them, but to say, I'm going to be here with you. You're sad. I'm going to be here sad with you. You're anxious. I'm going to be here anxious with you. The one thing I think we kind of need to guard against is there is a big difference between controlling our emotions and our emotions controlling us. And this is what I mean by that. If we never grapple with our sadness, if we don't really process through with our sadness, what will happen? Our sadness will start to overwhelm us. That's what's happening to the little girl in the movie, is her sadness starts to overwhelm her, and she starts to fall apart until she handles it and deals with it. Scripture talks about a part of our spiritual gifts is self-control. It is this recognition that I can deal with my emotions in a way that is healthy, and I can deal with them in a way that is not healthy. So I have the right to be angry, right? But I do not have the right to start swinging at the person, because that is not a healthy way to express your anger. Never bothered me if a kid was angry at something in school. They might even have a right reason to be angry, but I would still express to them they had to maintain self-control in the midst of it. The great part about trusting that God is in control of our emotions, that we can trust him with our emotions, is it gives us the freedom to come to him no matter where we are. How many of you sometimes find it hard to come to church if you're really sad? But you should be able to come, amen? Because God loves you then. How many of you find it hard to come to church if you're really angry? Do you have any idea how many times I had to drive to church with six kids? And it wasn't always a fun drive. And I wanted to kill one of the kids by the time we got to church. Do you think that's a fun emotion to preach with? When you're like, I got to avoid eye contact with this kid because I'm ready to kill them. You know, and yet I trusted that God still loved me in the midst of that. By the way, I never killed a kid. Self-control. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that God welcomes us with whatever emotion we're feeling right now. Whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whether it's angry, whether it's frustration. And that God's willing to walk with us. That no matter how difficult it might feel, we need to recognize and embrace the idea that God is walking with us right where we are. And that is good news, amen? And so I don't have to worry about healing your emotions. I don't have to worry about looking at you and saying to you, oh, don't be sad because God's in control. Instead, I can just walk with you and know that God walks with us, amen? And that's what we're called to do. In the midst of whatever life brings us, no matter how difficult it is, to look at each other and say, I'm going to take your hand, I'm going to be like Christ, and I'm going to walk with you just wherever you are. And we're going to trust that God is walking with us. Would you pray with me? Father, for the times in which we have struggled to really live with our emotions, Father, we trust your love and grace. Father, for the times in which we have tried to demand people not feel the way they do, when we have expected them to have the same emotions we do, Father, help us to remember that you have called us to weep with those who weep and to laugh with those who laugh. Father, help us to walk with each other, knowing, Father, that you love the whole of our being, that you love the whole of who we are, that we were created in your image and redeemed fully by your Son. And so, Father, as we close in worship this morning, may we stand before you set free free to worship you, free to serve you, and free to be loved by you for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Close this morning with hymn number 333, His Way with Thee. Let's stand together as we sing.
God's holy and beloved children, redeemed by His grace, go forward to serve Him, knowing the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of joy goes with you always. Amen.